You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God who is our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. In my dining room hang two pictures. One is of an elderly gentleman over a piece of bread praying. And the other one is an elderly woman, presumably his wife, also over a very humble meal praying. And I have those up in my dining room because they remind me of my paternal grandparents, Ed and Layla Young. Now, they are two of the people that are the saints of my life. I have wonderful stories about their loving me and teaching me about life and faith. An interesting story. My grandfather, Ed, grew up Baptist. And my grandmother was Lutheran and way long back, very strong Lutheran family. But when they first got married, my grandfather continued to go to the Baptist church while my grandmother and my Aunt Beth and my father went to the Lutheran church. And then one Sunday, after they had come home to have Sunday lunch, they were sitting around the table, and my Aunt Beth, a young girl at the time, looked at my grandfather and said, "Daddy, there's a place just big enough for you to sit beside me at church in our pew." And my grandfather, as all good fathers would do, got up that week, went that week to see the Lutheran pastor, and he became a Lutheran. And as it turned out, he eventually became the choir director of that community of faith and a leader within that community of faith for many, many years. And one of the images that my dad shares, as well as I share, of my grandparents was of them waking up in the morning, visiting them, or my dad tells a story of when he was a boy growing up, and that invariably one of the first scenes you would see every morning was either both of them or one of them at the table praying and reading their Bible. And that makes an impression. Now, it's an interesting story. When my grandfather became a Lutheran, that next week, the deacons from the Baptist church came to visit my grandmother. And they proceeded to tell my grandmother that she was leading my grandfather to hell. And as they were haranguing my grandmother, my grandfather came back home and caught them having words with his wife. Let me just say, that stopped immediately, and they never came back again. Indeed, my grandfather both literally and figuratively kicked them out of his home. Because, as I learned later on in life when I sassed my grandmother, nobody talks back to my wife. So, amidst his sainthood, my grandfather had some rough around the edges moments that reminded me that he was indeed a sinner as well. I'm not so sure my grandmother was ever a sinner. Although, when I asked Granddad about that one time, I said, "Grandma's like perfect, isn't she?" And he goes, "Just wait till you're married, son." Grandson. Just wait till you're married. And so I have a feeling that he was telling me in that way that as saintly as my grandmother was, I'm sure she had her rough days too. Well, I share this with you because my grandparents were very ordinary people. They lived ordinary lives. My grandmother was a homemaker and worked in the garden, and my grandfather worked at the finishing company and textiles for over 40 years. Very ordinary lives. but they exhibited an extraordinary faith. And it was a reminder to me that amidst their reality of their sinfulness as human beings, they were indeed saints. One of the most significant events that has evolved out of our Reformation was Martin Luther's insistence that we can be defined as both saint and sinner. Condemned because of our brokenness and pain, as the great Danish Christian Soren Kierkegaard said, that we are condemned by our sin, yet we can boldly stand in God's grace. We can boldly stand as recipients of infinite mercy, and we can dare to be saints. Condemned, yet free to witness to the beauty of God's creation. Now today, we celebrate the saints of our lives, and as I read those names that I've placed on our altar here for our worship today, I placed two names there. One, it's a woman named Karen Johnson. The other one was a friend of mine, Pastor Philip Gaines. Let me tell you a little bit about Karen. Karen was about 5 foot nothing. And she was one of the four organists that I had in my first congregation in Cincinnati. She was also our choir director. And she was so full of energy. You know how when people come to Bethel and one of the first things they say is, "Man, I really love the energy of that drummer you have. I love her energy." Well, that's the way people said about Karen. Whenever she would be leading the choir, she was up there and moving, and she had to stand up on a step because nobody could see her. So they would stand up on a step, and she would sit there, and she would be moving and grooving, and it was beautiful. And she was a great friend. She was on my call committee. She was a part of my mutual ministry team. Our families became very close, and we spent a lot of wonderful moments together. But the thing that made her saint in my eyes was this amazing ability she had to be an improvisational piano player. And what that meant is that often, you know, for prelude services, whether it was an Advent service or a Sunday morning service, Karen would just close her eyes and get on the piano, and she would just start playing. And it was as if she allowed her gift to be used by God to bring peace and joy to all of us. Invariably, whenever she would do that, she didn't do it all the time, but whenever she would do it, it was invariably the most beautiful thing that happened in that worship service. And I remember oftentimes sitting and worshiping, having her minister to me through that amazing gift. Likewise, I brought a picture of my friend Pastor Phil Gaines. You can't see it, of course. If you get a chance, you're welcome to come up. But he just died recently after a battle with cancer. And Philip was a longtime friend, a person I met in seminary. And he was one of those people in life who always had your back. In every way. He was always there for you. And he was always there in such a way that you knew he deeply, deeply cared about you. Phil went through some very difficult times in his life and in his ministry. He had a lot of loss, he had some brokenness, he had some pain. And we would be there for him. But even amidst that brokenness, pain, and the difficult times, he was a true friend to all of us. Even in his brokenness, even in his pain, even in the things that caused him and caused others stress and struggle in his life, I was able to witness in him that even amidst brokenness, even amidst pain, you can still love and care for others in such a way that it makes a change in their life too. He changed me because he never changed. Even though he was going through really difficult times, he was always there for us. The thing is, Karen and Phil, like my grandparents, were ordinary. Like we're ordinary. But they had extraordinary faith. Now, I'm here to tell you today that just as Karen and Phil and my grandparents were ordinary people with extraordinary faith, you too have been given that promise and gift that you too may be extraordinary. You are extraordinary because your baptism makes it so. The promise that God makes upon you and your life, the claim that God makes upon you and your living because of your baptism makes you extraordinary. Extraordinary. Today is a day that we think of those people who have shaped our faith. But I would ask you to do this as well today. Think about the people whom God is calling you to shape. To whom are you a saint? To whom is God inviting you to share God's love and grace with this day? To whom will one day put your picture up around our sanctuary? Because the reality is, God does this all the time. God's deal, God's thing, is to take ordinary people like you and I and do extraordinary things through us and our faith, even when we doubt that can ever happen. But it does. Think of the people who are the saints in your life today. Were they perfect? Were they flawless? Did they sometimes have good days and bad days? Did they have doubts and uncertainties? I dare say every one of them did. Yet God took their ordinary lives and they did extraordinary things in yours. Just as God can take your ordinary life and do extraordinary things in the lives of others. Martin Luther said this: people who quietly do their work, tend to their children, cut their hair. That doesn't mean you have to cut yours, Jacob. We like your hair long. He said, people who quietly do their work, tend to their children, cut their hair, grow their food, well, they are the glue that hold the world together. I.e., those are the saints of God. The ordinary people who through the promise of baptism and the gift of the Spirit do extraordinary things. That is you. That is you. That is you. In Jesus' name, amen.